Well, hello everybody. It's so nice that Sandra and I are able to come and share with you once more. We've always enjoyed coming here because we come among some people that we've known for years, but collectively you've always given us such a warm and wonderful welcome. And so we love to come and share with you on occasions like this. And interested to hear that Brian is going to take you through 1 Peter at Chidlow. We've just finished a series through 1 Peter with our pastor, and it's been a fantastic experience. And I just endorse everything that Brian said about it. So if you are able, I really encourage you to come along and meet with him and share together in that wonderful 1 Peter. Friends, it's a truism that in our life's journey, we encounter many paradoxes. This morning I'd like to share and consider with you a truly remarkable paradox from the Gospel of John. It reveals that one of the wonderful aspects of being a genuine Christian is the reality that in the midst of bad news, the good news still stands. In the midst of bad news, the good news still stands. It's found in the 14th chapter of John in the well-known first 3 verses, and I believe that we might have them up on our screen so that we can share them together. So let's do that just now. Otherwise, I'll have to read them. John chapter 14, the first 3 verses. Shouldn't have used invisible ink. Okay, all right. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's read them together. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Thank you. Now, friends, those words of Jesus were spoken at a time of bad news for his disciples. For just previously in chapter 13, where Brian read for us, Jesus had given them the bad news that one of them was going to betray him. He'd also said that he was going to a place where they couldn't follow, and that Peter would deny him 3 times. And so, to say the least, these men who'd given up everything to follow him were all no doubt confused and deeply disturbed. I think we'd all be if we're in the same situation. What is more, Jesus himself knew that in a few more hours they would be even more disturbed, for he was soon to be arrested, tried, and crucified. Now, that was the bad news. But in the midst of it all, there was nevertheless good news. News that would in fact stand the test of time, indeed of eternity. We see Jesus knew the end from the beginning, and so he looks beyond the troubles and the trials he knows that the disciples are about to enter into, and he lovingly and gently reassures them. They needn't be troubled or agitated in their hearts, he says to them. He's preparing a place in heaven for them, and he is the means of bringing them to the Father. Friends, as for his disciples, and just as they've always been for Christians down through the ages, those words of Jesus are of immeasurable comfort and reassurance to you and me as our Lord's contemporary disciples. For just as his original disciples had to go through difficult times in their lifetime, so too do you and I, in varying degrees, experience the same in our own lifetimes. We have our own dark days, do we not? There are times when our hearts are troubled, troubled by personal sorrows, by loneliness or failure, by bereavement or disappointment. We suffer physical, emotional, and psychological pain, and we have to face the reality of death. And so sometimes we are troubled, not only by the things that go on in our own lives, but by what we see going on in the lives of others and in the world around us. And yet, dear friends, whilst not diminishing any of the pain at all, that pain and hurt that comes from those moments in our lives and the lives of others, we can nevertheless be thankful, thankful today, thankful to God. For by the mercy and grace of God, each one of us can know, as his blood-bought children, that when our bad news and times come along, the good news always remains. It still stands. We can know, and indeed do know, that when our lives fall in, when our world seems to fall apart all around us, when we experience some difficult chronic condition or circumstances, that we can embrace for ourselves those wonderful words of Jesus. We can claim them as our own. We can live by them and go forward in the hope of them. So then, what is it, in more specific terms, that we can observe in these first three verses of John 14 that bring us such comfort and reassurance? Well, firstly, they reveal our Lord's remedy for troubled times. Do not let your hearts be troubled, says Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in me. Friend, like oil that's poured over troubled waters, those loving and compassionate words of Jesus simply permeate into the very depth of our being, do they not? They're like a balm of comfort that's been poured over us. For they testify to the fact that Jesus knows you and me through and through. And in that knowledge, he sees us exposed in all our weaknesses and frailties. He knows everything about us, and he's aware that even the most devoted and holiest of his children will have bitter cups to drink in this life. And so, in effect, he says to you and me that in spite of the storms of life, don't give in, don't drop your bundle, don't be dismayed. He says to us, I have a remedy for these situations, whether they be brief or over a prolonged period of time. I have a remedy for them, and it's this. Continue to trust, to have confidence in, to believe in God, and also in me. Now, those words of Jesus are a powerful reminder to us that a genuine trust in God and in him is the only sure medicine for our troubled hearts, for our desert experiences, our dark days. You see, Jesus knows that our hearts are the seat of our emotions. It's with the heart that we grieve. But he also knows that it's with the heart that we believe. And so he knows that if our trust in God our Father and in him as our Savior, as our counselor and guide is secure, then we will be supported. We will be supported and strengthened in the knowledge that the very one who has himself borne every affliction and knows and understands in every sense our trials, the one who experienced himself the dreadful anguish of feeling abandoned by those who are near and dear to him, even by God, the one who, in spite of it all, continued to trust in his Father and who knew his Father's continuing constant and tender care, is the same one, dear friends, the same one who is yours and my refuge and strength and a faithful and ever-present helper in our own times of trial and need. Isn't that wonderful? Friends, the Jesus who lives in our hearts is the one who has only the best interest for our life and for our spiritual growth and maturity. He is the one whom we can trust absolutely, trust completely to give us grace sufficient for every circumstances, just as he did for the Apostle Paul. And in the knowledge that you and I have of these blessed truths, Jesus knows that we are therefore able, not in our own strength, but in his strength, we are able to be strong and have courage and to be filled with hope in the midst of and despite the difficulties and the passing storms that come across our lives. Friends, allow me to ask you, are you claiming and embracing with all your hearts these comforting words of our Lord Jesus? We see in telling us not to let our hearts be troubled, he's saying in effect that the secret to keeping our present anxieties in perspective, that the secret to avoiding being overwhelmed by our troubles and heartaches is in an uncompromising trust and belief in his word and in his promises. You see, if Christians were to know inward comfort and peace of heart in the coming of bad news or trying circumstances, then such will only come, says Jesus, when our trust in God the Father and in him is unwavering and single-minded. And so if, like Peter on the water, we take our eyes off the Lord, our circumstances will possibly get the better of us and we'll begin to lose heart and go under. But friends, let's remember not only Jesus' command and comforting words, but also the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said one day, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord, the Lord." See the double emphasis there. The Lord is the rock eternal. That's a blessing, isn't it? So firstly, we have our Lord's remedy for troubled hearts, troubled times. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now secondly, we can observe that Jesus soothes our troubled hearts by giving us a glimpse of the reality of heaven. Now in our finite minds, it's very difficult for you and me to understand all the wonders and the glory of heaven and what it will be really like. But in verses 2 and 3 of our passage, which are plainly a reference to heaven, Jesus gives us just enough of a glimpse to whet our appetite for the great day when heaven will be a reality for us. For firstly, notice that Jesus describes heaven as my Father's house. Now that is a truly exciting statement, for Jesus is referring there not only to the dwelling place of his own Father, but also to the living quarters of yours and my Heavenly Father as well. In other words, Jesus is talking about home. He's talking about his own home and the home of all Christians through all ages from the four corners of the earth. You see, we must remember that heaven in reality is the true home of all of the Lord's redeemed. The Bible tells us that we're aliens, that we're strangers in the world, and that our true citizenship is in heaven. And so as much as we may love and cherish our own homes in this present life, they are nevertheless only a shadow of what our heavenly home will be like. For in our Father's house, we will have the joy of a perfect home, a home where hearts will never be troubled, a home where we'll be perfectly loved for our own sakes, never ever to be forgotten and forever welcome. Then secondly, home will also be a place of contented and permanent residence. For Jesus says in verse 2 that in his Father's house are many rooms, in some translations, mansions, and some others, residences. In his Father's house are many rooms. In other words, Jesus is saying that there will be residential stability in the heavenly suburbs. And so unlike our earthly homes, which may well be overcrowded, may become too small for us, which may be many and in different places, and from which we may be forced to leave, maybe through financial circumstances, or lose through earthquake, fire, or flood, the reality is our heavenly homes will last forever. For heaven is a place as wide and as deep as the very, very heart of God himself. Meaning, every one of us in Christ shall be settled in a large enough, lasting and permanent dwelling. There'll be room for everyone. Not a single one of God's people will miss out. There'll be no such thing in the glories of heaven as no fixed address. So let us then, in the light of that, hang on to that message. Hang on to that good news. News that comes from the lips of none other than our Lord himself. Then thirdly, Jesus says something that's infinitely wonderful for all of us who love him. And that is that heaven is a place where he himself will be present. For he declares that he'll not be content to live without his redeemed people. I'm taking you to be with me, he says, so that you also may be where I am. Now what a glorious and comforting thought that is, dear friends. For it's reminding us that there's never a need for you and me to think that we'll be alone or neglected. Rather, we're given the absolute assurance that our Savior, friend, and helper will be in our company forever. You and I may not be able to clearly visualize what or even whom we shall see in heaven. But friends, this one thing we do know, and that is, we shall see our loving Savior and Lord. We shall see him. We can talk to him. We can be with him. And we will be like him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, friends, I trust that these few wonderful glimpses of heaven will be permanently etched in your minds and hearts today. For are they not of unspeakable joy and comfort, especially in our times of trouble and hardship? And so we observe in our short passage that Jesus not only gives us a remedy for our troubled times, but secondly, he soothes them. He soothes them by giving us a glimpse of the reality of heaven. Now finally, our passage reassures us that Jesus himself is the believer's guarantee to a place in heaven. Friends, if ever we get caught up in a momentary period of doubt, if heaven sometimes seems to be far removed from us in the midst of our earthly struggles, then let these cheering words from Jesus uplift us. Let them encourage us this morning. I am going, he says, to prepare a place for you. Now here we have Jesus telling us that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Here he reveals to us that he himself is the one who is making ready our homes in heaven, making them ready for all true Christians. Through the cross and in his resurrection and ascension, Jesus has procured a right for every sinner who believes in him through repentance and faith to enter heaven itself. And so if we belong to Christ this morning, then there's no one who can keep us out of heaven's door. Not even the devil and his fallen angels can keep you and me from possessing our inheritance in Christ. You know why? It's because our Lord has gone before us. He's gone as our great high priest, carrying our names with him into the Holy of Holies. He's marched in and he's planted his banner in the land of glory. And so we have the assurance that in Christ we shall enter heaven. And when we do, we will discover that we were both known and expected, and we will be welcomed. But there's even more to cheer and reassure us. For in verse 3, Jesus says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come back and take you to be with me." Now what a joy that must bring to our hearts in relation to our place in heaven. For Jesus is telling us that at his coming again, whether we be raised from the grave or caught up from the earth, it will be him. It will be our Lord himself who will escort us to our home in glory. It's always a great relief, isn't it, that we have transfer arrangements from our hotel to the airport when we're traveling overseas. But friends, nothing in this life will be more exciting and joyful than being transferred from earth to our heavenly homes by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Does that not make you smile? Does not that bring joy to your hearts? Friends, there's great blessing in looking back and remembering what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. We can be grateful for our present blessings. But in the light of these three verses we've looked at this morning, there's no less blessing and comfort in looking forward and longing for the day of our Lord's coming. So there we have it, a remedy for our troubled times, a soothing glimpse of the reality of heaven, a reassurance that Jesus is our guarantee to a place in heaven. Friends, it's a guarantee that comes from the one who doesn't lie. It's an absolutely certain promise set in the reality of our everyday lives. It's the good news that comes from the one who said, "If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" Friends, the wonderful thing about the Lord is that he's always been honest with us. He's always been upfront with us. He never said that following him would be a bed of roses, total earthly bliss. Rather, in his word, he told us quite bluntly that we can say farewell to any notions of never-ending comfort in our earthly lives. Yes, there are the good times, and there are the good times, and we thank God and praise him for that. But as we've already been reminded this morning, we will and do at times have our crosses to bear. We cannot always live in the heights. Yet, dear friends, in the midst of it all, he is there. He is the God who is with us. And in his abiding presence, through his Holy Spirit, he lovingly encourages and lifts us with this wonderful picture of his ever-present help in this life and the heavenly glory that awaits us who live in him. That wonderful thing that we can look ahead to despite our troubles and concerns. Friends, how wonderful is that? Surely that is amazing grace, don't you think? How then can we not reverence, honor, and love him more? Such is the message that Jesus gave to his disciples so long ago. It's the message that he gives to you and me today. It's the good news that stands forever and which as Christians we can cling to in the midst of bad news or troubled times should they come our way. I pray that you will examine your own hearts before God as you leave these three verses this morning. And friends, if you sit here today and you are yet unsaved, Jesus reveals to you just how much you are missing and will miss. For outside of Christ, and this is not my opinion, this is what the Lord says, outside of Christ you will know nothing. You know nothing of him as your Savior, as the one who is your refuge and strength, your Lord. You know nothing of God as your Father, or heaven as your home. Do you realize that? If you're here this morning and that is you, then Jesus is gently inviting you today to surrender your life to him, to confess your sin to him, to repent of it, and trust him as your Savior and Lord. Do that, and you will know for yourself a joyous entry into new life on this earth, and a wonderful inheritance that awaits for you in heaven. And if you want to change your circumstances today, please come and talk to one of your elders, that they may talk with you and pray with you. Friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, these verses reveal to us just how great is our possession. For despite our weaknesses, despite the crosses that we bear, we have something that the world can neither give nor take away. We have a true friend while we live. We have a true home when we die. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I am going to there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you, all of you who are in Christ, I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Friends, my prayer is that no one will leave this place not knowing Jesus as your Savior and true friend, not knowing that heaven is your true home, and that a glorious welcome and inheritance awaits you there. May God have the glory forever. Amen.